We're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Jesse Wiza. It is Tuesday, 6:34 p.m. in Lansing. Thank you for joining us. For feedback, by the way, our email address is ccrecap@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Well, it is happening right at this moment, the world's most massive power outage. Over 680 million people in India without power. It breaks the record that was just set yesterday when an initial outage in India took out power to 370 million people. So how does this kind of a thing happen? And could we see a similar incident taking out power to half the country here in the U.S.? Dr. Masood Amin is a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of Minnesota. He's one of the world's foremost experts in smart grid technology and a leading expert in the U.S. electricity grid. Dr. Amin, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. My pleasure.
You know, apparently India's had chronic issues with its electricity grid, with demand rising much faster than they're able to handle. So was this kind of a massive power outage just waiting to happen there?
Unfortunately, such outages, big outages like this, happen once every 10 years or so in terms of relative frequency. In India. Last one was about 11 years ago, which was mostly northern India, not eastern India. So this is even larger than that about half of the nation is in blackout. There are several factors that contribute to that. One, of course, the analysis, investigations are going to show the details of it. Most likely, based on early signatures, it is a combination of one-fourth of electricity in India comes from hydro dams. They have had a small amount of rainfall, so the shortage of generation capacity, and India is the fifth largest generation capacity in the world, is operating a system with less generation. The other part is high voltage transmission and distribution. India is the third largest owner of transmission distribution in the world, and there has been, that infrastructure has not kept up with demand, with the growing economic development in India, and has been unable to meet that. Third factor is most likely inter-area. We connect systems in a large area similar to the Band of Brothers to keep the system up, to mutual aid at times that one area is short, to have another area. But with that comes with the risk of inter-area vibration oscillations breaking the system down. So there is a need for advanced sensors, advanced, smarter systems mm-hmm. that provide what I call smart grid or smart self-healing grid to counter that.
Give me just the most simple answer to this, but how does a massive cascading outage begin to occur and then continue?
It's almost like a virus propagation or it's an aircraft destabilizing. Start small. Typically, those are simple signatures that are easy to miss, but electrons travel very fast at nearly the speed of light. So small disturbance in seemingly unrelated location may cause an too much voltage in one line. That line shuts down. It creates other vibrations, and this is traveling at at hundreds of seconds. I mean, very, very fast. Very quickly, the system can break up in order to protect the assets there so they don't become fried, basically.
So there's a power surge that moves through and then essentially circuit breakers don't kick in time?
Typically, the balance in the system is gone. You want to have perfect balance between what's being generated and what's being used.
So let me ask you this, though. What kept the entire country from going down?
Protection devices. Exactly the relays, the switches, they kick into something called islanding. When they experience vibration in the system, oscillations, and over voltages, they isolate. They try to create self-sustaining islands that matches generation to the load. And they become pockets of light. Little cities, for example, that have local electricity, that have equivalent of our own munis or smaller utilities, they keep the light on, but the big backbone has been blacked out, basically.
I see. I'm talking to Dr. Masood Amin, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of Minnesota, one of the world's foremost experts in smart grid technology. Now, give me a comparison then to the India power grid to the one we have here in the U.S.? Is theirs just a beat-up old truck compared to a 2012 Mustang here in the U.S.?
Great question. We have a better system when it comes to reliability and investment in the infrastructure. Actually, our electrical power grid in North America was hailed by the National Academy of Engineering, a blue ribbon panel led by Neil Armstrong in 2000, as the most influential, greatest achievement of engineering in the 20th century, because it underpins our economy, our quality of life, everything we do. However, unfortunately, even in the United States, we have taken this most advanced infrastructure for granted. And we have invested less and less in the infrastructure in the last 25 years, 20 years mostly, and in the human capital that manages it. So it uses much more advanced technology. However, with, again, diminished shock absorbers in the system, less alternative path, because none of us want lines running through our backyard. We don't want generators in our backyard. And there's lack of public support for infrastructure upgrade. We only notice it when the lights go off.
But tell me, right now, isn't there still plenty of capacity? I mean, the only time you hear about the power grid being maxed out is during these incredibly hot days when maybe an entire region is cranking up their ACs. But typically, it seems that that's not an issue here, is it?
It is a little bit. Not quite as severe of India, but Mr. Cohen, to give you an idea, from 1988 to 98, demand in the United States grew 35%. From 1999 to 2009, demand grew about 17%. Currently, it's growing even with a slow economy about 1% a year. All the digital devices we use, all the video streaming, digitization of records, that has increased the demand for electricity. Our summer peak in the last decade has risen 16%. Space cooling has risen 115%. Impact of TVs, PCs, smartphones, tweeting, webs, etc., 180%. So in contrast to that, infrastructure, transmission and distribution, transmission only grew 17% from 88 to 98, half the amount of demand.
So and how is it able to, how are we handling it now then?
We are, it depends on the pockets, depends what pocket of the country we are talking about. The capacity to meet peak demand used to be 25 to 30% back in the 80s. That has diminishing more and more to about 12 to 15%. In some parts of the country, that is verging on getting to about 10% or below the what's going on. Only about 1/4 of what gets planned gets built.
I understand. I do want to ask you, we only have a few minutes left, but the blackout we had in the Northeast in 2003 certainly affected us here in Michigan, went all the way out to New York and so on. But when it comes to these kinds of outages, it seems pretty much the case every time that power is restored fairly quickly, within hours, within days. Is there any reason to think that's not going to be the case in India or in any other major outages in the future?
There are several factors in India. One is, do they have sufficient generation available, especially hydro, to meet the demand? Number two, do they have transmission, sufficient transmission to bring electricity from where it is available to the big cities that are demanding it? In the U.S., we are going to need a stronger grid. We are going to need to augment the backbone of the grid in order to integrate renewables, sources of homegrown sources of energy from coal to natural gas to other sources, together with wind and geothermal, biomass and solar into this backbone. And we are going to need a smarter grid. And the cost of the total cost for the stronger grid is about $8 billion a year, 42,000 miles of high voltage lines that adds up to be about $82 billion total, $8 billion a year for 10 years.
Well, it would likely take some major outages here to motivate us to start moving in that direction. But just to clarify then, any kind of a major outage of this type, when you see it, it's fairly certain the power will be restored within several days. There won't be outages that will last weeks or months.
It can. The worst case, I'm an optimistic person, and we have done a wide range of analysis on what are the low frequency, high impact. It depends what we are hit with. So sky is not falling, but we are not bulletproof. and depends on what hits us, what multi-pronged, in a way, attacks or natural disasters or combination of them hit us and what gets taken out.
Do you have any real concerns about a terrorist attack having or causing long-term serious damage to the electricity grid here in the U.S.?
I leave that up to, these are rather sensitive areas, and I leave it up to our DHS and intelligence agencies who are better qualified to address that. But what we have done, we have assessed many of those, and what would it take, and then what do we do about it? How do we harden the infrastructure? How do we make it more resilient, more smarter, and more secure?
Although at this point in time, we haven't seen that kind of an attack here in the U.S. I mean, would it involve a computer attack on the equipment that basically manages the electricity, right? Because the infrastructure itself can't be affected directly, certainly not in a nationwide way.
Fortunately, many of those risks, even before Y2K and after 9/11, we have assessed those risks. While many of them may potentially be exploited, but we have developed countermeasures against many of them. So that it doesn't become a major cascading phenomenon that can be localized. But a lot more needs to be done. The smarter grid that I mentioned to you is going to cost $17 to $24 billion a year for 20 years, but the benefits of that, it pretty much pays for itself by reducing cost of outages by $49 billion a year in outages. Currently, we experience 80 to over $180 billion of outages in the United States.
Yeah, but aren't those weather-related? Are they really avoidable if we have a major windstorm or thunderstorm come through?
You could localize them. That's the nice thing about it. Currently, we are measuring most of the infrastructure is being managed every three seconds. Electrons travel very fast. The Department of Energy has done a nice job as part of stimulus plan. They have a phasor measurement unit. These are sensors that give you 6 measurements a second, so you can act much faster than you did if you measured every 3 seconds.
You're saying that when there's a major storm that rolls through Michigan, we see an outage of 100,000 or so, most of it is actually due to the sensors not kicking off in time and localizing the incident.
Some. It depends. If you do infrastructure damage, I have been in hurricanes, I have been in major outages because of hurricanes, you pre-position, and my hat is off to the utility crews, mutual aid. Those typically take 10 to 14 days to erect a whole new distribution system. But you are right. The kind of smarter, stronger devices that we can put in place can reduce by one order of magnitude the order of outages that are weather caused.
So the real cause is these sensors that need to be in place, not necessarily going in and replacing high-tension wires or replacing local cables running through our neighborhoods.
We really need both. We need a stronger grid, and the cost of it is $82 billion total. Over 10 years, $88 billion per year. That would be 42,000 miles of new high-voltage lines. And then there is about $340 to $470 billion spread over 20 years, $17 to $24 billion to make it smarter with the sensors and with the devices, control devices, localization, similar to the aircraft. Flying the aircraft with advanced avionics rather than 1960s technology.
One last question off topic slightly. There's all this concern about living near high voltage wires. Do you think they're warranted? Would you think twice about buying a home near one of these major lines of electricity?
You know, experts in this field from Electric Power Research Institute, EPRI, on electromagnetic interference, impact of that on the living beings, tissue, animals, human beings have analyzed it. And there's the magnetic field drops rather quickly, order of 1 over the distance to the squared or to the fourth order. So there's a safe distance for living beings to be close to those wires.
I see. They're high enough where they shouldn't.
Precise.
But that's
precise.
The thought. That's the belief. But you're saying you wouldn't hesitate to buy a home.
No, that's exactly. That's the science behind it. Not just a belief. It's science behind it. That what is the actual electromagnetic field, how far it does. Even you can visualize it. There is a device that shows you exactly where the wire, what are the, if you will, the magnetic field around the wire, that the Electric Power Research Institute has a facility in Lenox, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. that shows you can actually visualize the field around it.
So really, it's just a matter of aesthetics if someone decides not to live near one.
Precisely. It's the what is called NIMBY, not in my backyard, or mm-hmm. banana. Build absolutely nothing around anywhere. Around no one.
That sounds very nice. Dr. Masoud Amin, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of Minnesota, one of the world's foremost experts in smart grid technology, certainly knows a lot. Dr. Amin, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you very much. Anytime.
We'll be right back to talk about lymphoma. Michigan U.S. Congressman Dave Camp announcing that he's been diagnosed with this blood cancer. We'll get the details of how successful treatments typically are and how people end up, what are the potential causes of lymphoma. That's next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.